Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
We are here. I don't have my coffee yet, but I will very soon. Hi, everybody who's listening in from all over the world, all of the United States, Israel, Canada, Australia, Chile, and other places. We are going to be intimate today, you and I. No guests on the show today. It's just you and moi, me. And I'm going to be talking to you about things that we may not want to know. Things that we may not want to remember. We're going to be talking more about the significance of having United Nations forces on our border between Israel and Syria in the north of the country. We're going to be talking about the nationality law and what the Arabs have to say about it. I think it's going to surprise you. And we're going to talk about, if we have time, morality in society and how societies fall and decay. All that's coming up. We would love to have you call into the show and join me on the air. This is your show as well. I do this for you so that you can have a say. That's why we do live shows. I could easily do a podcast whenever I want, whenever it's convenient for me, but no, I am at the microphone at a special time. I drop everything that I'm doing in order to be here so you can have a chance to call in and weigh in on the issues. So if you have any comments, you have any questions, you want to make a statement, you can do so. Join me on the air. Our phone numbers, if you want to call into the show, are on our webpage at israelnewstalkradio.com. I'm going to repeat that. israelnewstalkradio.com. At the top of the page, in the middle, are our phone numbers. Feel free to call in and join me on the air. Weigh in on the issues I bring up. If you have a question about anything, since I don't have anything where I'm locked in because I have a guest and you have a question that has nothing to do with anything I'm talking about, feel free to call in with your question as well. And we will try to address that on the air today. All right. So an interesting show because it's just you and me, very intimate. Take advantage of it. Join me in the chat room. It's the orange button bar on our player at israelnewstalkradio.com. Look for the orange button, click on that, and you can join me in the chat room. We'll be right back.
Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
Shalom from the heartland of Israel. This is David Ha'ivri. Join me every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 o'clock Eastern, for A Hebrew in the Heartland on Israel News Talk Radio. Hear the news and views from the heartland of Israel every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time. Be there.
Don't want to know, maybe don't even want to remember, but I'm here to push that button, to make you remember, because been there, done that, we're at it again. We are seeing a repeat of foreign forces on Israel's border. The United Nations are now sending their peacekeeping troops to the Syrian border with Israel. Is that good for Israel or is that bad for Israel? You're invited to call into the show and give us your opinion. Do you agree? Do you disagree? We want to hear what you have to say. Everyone has a right to their own opinion, and I'm going to give you mine on this show. The United Nations never really having been a friend of Israel, except for the United Nations in 1947 voting for the state of Israel, that there be a state of Israel made, which was through the partition plan, by the way, which terribly cut up the land of Israel, giving most of the land away to the Arabs, but Israel still accepted it. Except for that vote that legitimized the state of Israel. And this is an important vote, by the way, folks, because Israel, probably one of the very few nations, if not the only nation in the world that I can remember offhand, that had the complete agreement of the majority of the world through the United Nations saying, yes, you can have a state. We recognize your state. You can have it. This was a big thing. But since then, it has been resolution against us after resolution after resolution. Not just that, but sadly, and I say this sadly, lies and cover-ups by the United Nations. Now, let's just think for a moment. We have these multinational forces on our border, and Israel has to defend itself. How are we supposed to effectively be able to do that when, if we strike back at our enemies after being attacked, what happens if a United Nations officer gets killed or wounded or something happens to him? One, Israel will be blamed. Two, there will be repercussions. Three, there will be condemnations. Four, it's going to make us have to fight even more so with our hands tied behind our backs. The United Nations is constantly making resolutions against Israel. It is not a friend. So in addition to having United Nations forces in our way to effectively be able to defend our nation and our people and our communities, we have the United Nations, which is unfriendly to Israel, which is always putting condemnations against us. Look at this. I'm just reading from unwatch.org. I'm reading here that it's talking about the UN General Assembly and all EU member states. And it says here that they're voting for at least 15 out of 21 Arab-sponsored resolutions singling out Israel. EU states have failed to introduce a single United Nations General Assembly resolution on the human rights situation in China, in Venezuela, in Saudi Arabia, in Belarus, in Cuba, in Turkey, in Pakistan, in Vietnam, in Algeria, or on 175 other countries. Who do they single out? Israel. Can we trust an organization like this? Sadly, no, because Israel always wants to have good relations with people. Israel's always putting out its hand for peace. Israel always is trying to help other nations when they have natural disasters. But Israel, at the same time, is always condemned. Always condemned. I want to read to you a little bit of history, how Israel suffered terribly and had tragic losses because we accepted UN peacekeeping troops as an entity that was supposed to keep the terrorists away from Israel. And let's remember that the reason why these peacekeeping troops are coming now, Russia is saying, well, we want to keep Iran away from the Israeli border. And so they're bringing in the peacekeeping troops. But let's remember, what do the peacekeeping troops do? Actually, nothing. They don't fight. They usually hightail it out whenever there's a problem. And they don't do what they've promised to do. In 1956, when Israel was attacked by Egypt and we won the Sinai, Egypt wanted us out. The world wanted us out. Israel said, we need this buffer zone between Egypt and Israel. We can't have them on top of us so near Tel Aviv, so near Ashkelon, so near our kibbutzim and our surrounding communities. And so they promised us that the UN will go in there and will make sure that the Egyptians did not use the Sinai as a military base against Israel, that they would keep out the Egyptian military from there. They would be the peacekeeping forces. And what happened just several years later? Egypt decides they want to shut off the Suez Canal. Egypt decides that they want to attack Israel. Egypt starts moving in military equipment. Where were the peacekeeping forces? Why didn't they do what they were supposed to do? When Israel complained to the international community, they said, we can't find these agreements. We can't find this letter where we said that this was that we were going to prevent this from happening. I'm a little foggy in the history there. I will try to get that for you. But this is according to my memory, what I remember. If you have any information, call into the show. But this is what happens. We gave away the Sinai in 56. In 67, we were forced to take it again. After the UN did not do their job, Egypt wanted them out. They hightailed it out, the UN. Let me read you here just a little bit from, let me just find this for you here. This is from the JewishVirtualLibrary.org. This happened when, in the year 2000, three of our soldiers were kidnapped on the border up north, where the UN peacekeeping troops were supposed to be keeping the Hezbollah away from Israel. Let me just read to you here a little bit. On October 8th, less than 18 hours after the ambush, this is when the Hezbollah came in and kidnapped our soldiers. 18 hours after the ambush, UNIFIL troops attempted to remove the contents inside the vehicles and tow away the vehicles, both of which were found wrecked after the kidnappings. One Indian UNIFIL officer was videotaping the actions of his fellow troops removing the materials. At the end of the tape, there was some footage taken of armed Hezbollah fighters storming the area and intercepting the vehicles from the UNIFIL troops. The UNIFIL troops turned over the vehicles to the Hezbollah men to avoid an armed skirmish. Official UN workers now had in their possession a videotape that might have helped Israel in some way to find its kidnapped soldiers. Israel knew about this video. They found out about it. And we were fighting to get it from the United Nations, who's supposed to be non-partial. It says here, finally, after 10 months after the kidnapping occurred, the United Nations agreed to allow Israel to look at an unedited version. First, they gave us an edited version. Why would they edit the version? Why would they keep information from Israel when this criminal act took place? This war crime? They finally agreed to let us look at the unedited version and to view items retrieved from the vehicles that UNIFIL forces removed from the scene. However, the United Nations placed sharp restrictions on when and how Israel could view the tape. The tapes would be, one, edited to hide the identity of the kidnappers. Why? Why would they hide and help the Hezbollah kidnappers? Also, the first viewing of the tapes at the UN headquarters in New York would be for an Israeli team, including Israeli military officers and Israeli ambassador to the UN, David Lankry. A second viewing session in Vienna would be for the families of the kidnapped soldiers to view. Only some of the items taken from the car would be handed over to Israel. Israeli officials cannot view the tape more than three times in total. Does this sound like a neutral body to you folks? Or does this sound like a body that is in bed with the terrorists? The United Nations said it placed these restrictions on Israel in order to maintain its neutrality on the issue. What? In the end, Israel agreed upon the UN conditions, including the editing of the tape. We had no choice. In the end, the IDF pronounced the three soldiers that were kidnapped dead on November 1st, 2001. Their remains were returned to their families in a prisoner exchange later on in January of 2004. This is what we get when we get UN troops supposedly helping us in our security where we can't act because we have them in the way, and where they go and purposely edit videos and hide the faces of the kidnappers and don't even let Israelis have the tape. They can only view it. In those days, they didn't have the technology we have today. All right, when we get back, we'll take your calls. You're listening to the Tamar Yonah Show here at Israel News Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radio from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country from Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
We don't want to know, don't want to remember. You're listening to the Tamar Yonah Show here at Israel News Talk Radio. I've just been talking with you about having UNIFIL troops and UN troops on our border, supposedly to keep the peace, which is actually a hindrance to Israel and an unfair advantage for the against Israel with the terrorists. And if you'd like to call in and weigh in on the issue, do you think it's a good thing we have UNIFIL soldiers or we have UN soldiers on our border? Do you think it's a negative thing? We want to hear from you. Let's go now to the land down under. We have joining us Nathan from Australia. Shalom, Nathan.
Hi, Tamar. How are you doing?
Very well. So what's your opinion?
Well, my opinion is it ain't going to work. It's never worked before. Number two, it'll be a hindrance. Number three, it won't work in Israel's favour. And the fourth thing that I want to ask Tamar, which troops will be patrolling that area? What countries?
That's a good question. And I don't have that information. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, continue.
I don't have that information in front of me. I think I saw something yesterday. There are a few different countries there right now. I'll try to get that information for you. I'll ask my producer to see if he can maybe dig it up for us and talk about that. But
I must say, it ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. It never worked in the past. And why is it going to work now with the volatility on the border between Syria and Israel? What's going to happen if a UN soldier gets killed? Israel will be blamed for it. And Israel's always blamed for things that happen. So, you know, the United Nations have never been a friend of Israel, as we know that, Tamar.
Sadly.
You know that.
Sadly.
Sadly, yeah.
All right. Well, I appreciate you calling in, Nathan. And it's nice to hear a voice from the other part of the world over there. It's winter
Thank
by
you.
You now. So stay warm.
Yes, it's winter. It's cool. But looking outside where I'm sitting in my lounge room, it's cloudy, but it's cool.
Well, you stay snug and warm and drink. I know that you have an INTR mug. So thank you.
Yes, that I won on your show.
Yes.
I answered three questions.
That's right.
And the mug is terrific. And you're going to put a photo of myself with the mug on the Facebook page of INTR.
Yes, we're going to do that. Nathan, you are the best. It's really wonderful to have you on the show. Thank you for calling in.
And I must say, your podcasts on JA are running fantastic. It's fantastic. It's brilliant.
Thank you so much, Nathan. You're the best. And I want to thank Nathan for calling in. And I'd like to hear from you as well. If you're listening in and you want to weigh in on the issue, feel free to call into the show. I'd love to hear your opinion. Am I right? Am I wrong? Correct me. Give me more information that I should change my mind. But I'm looking at the past, and they say a wise person is one that can see the future. And you can see the future by looking at patterns of the past. If this is always been leading to this, has always been leading to this, we pretty much know where things are going to go. And unfortunately, and I say this sadly, because I don't hate people. I want to get along with people. I love people. People are fascinating. They're interesting, especially from different places, to learn from them, to see the different cultures. But sadly, it has not been a good experience for Israel with the United Nations. I want to read you something here from the Jerusalem Post that they wrote, just to give you a better background of what happened with the United Nations on our northern border. I already told you what happened on the southern border with Egypt and how they told the United Nations peacekeeping forces there that were supposed to be a buffer zone to protect Israel from any attacks. They just ran out. They hightailed it out. And on the northern border, let me just read to you this little bit of history here to give you a better rounded education here. From the Jerusalem Post, it says here, the detonation of a roadside bomb followed by another bomb that blew a hole in our security fence was how Hezbollah succeeded in kidnapping and killing the three soldiers in October of 2000. The footage filmed by Hezbollah shows how the unarmored jeep carrying Omar Sawaid, Benny Avraham, and Adi Avitan drove up along the northern border fence until it was hit by a Hezbollah-planted bomb. Seconds later, Hezbollah gunmen are seen running to the gate, planting an explosive device and detonating it to open a passage for a 4x4 vehicle, which then crossed the border into Israel and picked up the three, seen being dragged into the car. Folks, how does this happen if we have UN security forces on our border to keep the Hezbollah away? How does this happen? And what good is the UN? What good are they if a thing like this can happen? A total of 3.5 minutes passed from the initial explosion into the Hezbollah car until the Hezbollah car returned to Lebanon with the soldiers. According to the investigation of the attack, it took the IDF close to 20 minutes to send troops to the scene and another 20 minutes to dispatch helicopters to begin searching for the Hezbollah car. The parents of the soldiers accused UNIFIL of cooperating with Hezbollah by filming the attack and then passing on the footage to the Lebanese producers who made the movie. Quote, from the movie, it is clear that the United Nations cooperated with the attack. We told this then to UN Security General Kofi Annan, but he preferred to lie. Unquote, said Chaim Avraham, father of Benny Avraham. Quote, Hezbollah did its best to erase any UN cooperation from the movie, but the United Nations lies do become clear in the movie. They filmed the kidnapping and knew all along what was happening. The parents also accused Hezbollah of murdering the soldiers in cold blood, claiming that the footage from the movie showed that at least one of them was still alive following the bomb explosion, which until now was believed to have immediately killed all three. Quote, we saw the last moments of our children, Avraham said. But what is clear is that they murdered our sons in cold blood following the kidnapping. End quote. The IDF has said that the video did not shed new light on the Arad affair. That's another soldier of ours that was taken as he was a pilot that crashed and he was taken by Syria in the end. We sadly cannot rely on the United Nations for anything except to hinder Israel, to be in the way if we need to defend ourselves. Israel must now, in addition to trying to defend ourselves, try to worry that no UN soldiers are in the way when we respond to an attack. Because we don't want an international incident. So not only are they in the way, but they're hostile because they help the enemy and at best are impotent against the enemy. And so if they're impotent against the enemy, then why have them there in the first place? That's my opinion. If you would like to call into the show and weigh in on the issue, feel free to do so. You can also leave a message on our webpage where the show will be podcasted afterwards for on-demand listening and downloads. We'd be interested to hear your opinions. I think it's bad news having the United Nations on our borders. And Israel, thank God, has an army, has the intelligence needed. Look what we did in Iran, getting all that information. Amazing intelligence Israel has. So we have the ability in the intelligence field, we have the ability in the defensive field to protect our country, protect our people, protect our cities. And we don't need UN soldiers hindering this, being in the way, possibly, God forbid, abetting our enemies. And remember, our enemies are your enemies. First they come for Israel, and then they come for the West. They say themselves, first the Saturday people, and then the Sunday people, meaning first the Jews, and then the Christian West. First the little Satan, Israel, and then the big Satan, America. When they burn the Israeli flag at their rallies, when they're screaming death to Israel, right afterwards it's followed by death to America, and they're burning the American flag. Israel is the canary in the coal mine. Whatever happens here, if it's not nipped in the bud, if they see the terrorists that they can get away with it, that Israel is not allowed to respond and eradicate the evil, it emboldens them. And then the attacks spread until you see it in Europe and you see it all over the world, and more innocent people are killed. It's our responsibility, freedom-loving people, Israel, the United States, the Western world, it's our responsibility to eradicate the evil that is in our midst. And I want to say this, as I say in all my shows, Israel has peace with all of the Arabs. That is, all of the Arabs that want peace. And the only Arabs Israel doesn't have peace with are the Arabs that don't want peace. You can't make peace with someone who doesn't want peace. All right, when we get back, I'm going to be reading to you what some Arabs in Israel are saying about the nationality law. You can call in about that as well if you'd like. We'll be right back.
Israel is located in one of the most volatile areas in the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order and human progress. Each week we update you on what's happening in this, the Jewish state, a true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on Israel News Talk Radio. I want to read to you an interesting email that came into my inbox this week. It's from the Druze Zionist Council. Many of the Druze, by the way, I want you to know, serve in the IDF. The Druze are Arabs that live here. Many of them used to live in Syria until Israel liberated the Golan from Syria after they attacked us. By the way, I was in the Golan this last weekend. It was surreal feeling how we are protected by an umbrella of love by God. This is my feelings. We're sitting there having coffee on the porch of the people who are hosting us for Shabbat, for the Sabbath. It's a beautiful day, and then all of a sudden, and everything shakes. You feel the vibrations. And you realize that being right next to the Syrian border, they're killing themselves over there. And by the way, many of these bombs or rockets that they shoot at each other comes over, spills over into Israel. So just a couple of weeks ago, I think it was, three missiles slammed into the Sea of Galilee, the Kinneret. Nobody was hurt. God really protects us. But I want to talk to you about the Druze here and read to you a message that they sent out. Again, this is from the Druze Zionist Council, and this is after the nationality law was passed here in Israel, basically stating that Israel is a Jewish state for the Jewish people. And a lot of leftist groups are making trouble. They're trying to say that this is not democratic, blah, 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 blah. No matter that there are 22 Arab states, but the Jewish people can't even have one. But let me just read the message to you here. And feel free to call in if you agree, disagree. We want to hear from you. A message to the Jewish nation from a Druze Zionist friend. There are no Druze in the world who can claim a better and freer life than the Druze citizens of Israel. Don't you understand? Without the Jewish nation, there would be death and suffering here like in the rest of the Middle East? Don't you understand, without the Jewish nation here, that suffering would soon extend to Europe? Don't you understand the Druze want Israel to be strong? The Druze need Israel to be strong. Otherwise, we disappear like the other by Islam. Doing what is right is having the confidence to state the obvious. Israel is a democratic and Jewish state. To state, the Jews have... Oh, this is being cut off here. Just a moment. Okay, I want to get this for you. Let me find my place here. I apologize. See, this is live radio, and this is what happens. Sometimes you lose your place, and then you have to wait until I find it. Okay, he says here, don't you understand the Druze want Israel to be strong? The Druze need Israel to be strong. Otherwise, we disappear like the other minorities decimated by Islam. Doing what is right for the Jewish people is doing what is right for the Druze people. Doing what is right is having the confidence to state the obvious. Israel is a democratic and Jewish state. To state the Jews have been here for more than 3,000 years, that the Jewish nation has a unique right to a national home in the whole land of Israel. Taking your place among the nations of the world, which has 82 Christian countries and 56 Muslim countries. All this noise about the new nation state law proves that the Jewish national identity is under attack. It's time to make it clearer. One flag, blue and white, with the Star of David at the center, the capital, Jerusalem, one anthem, Hatikva, which means the hope, one language, Hebrew, one land, protecting and raising many people of many faiths, but only one unique Jewish people with rights to a nation. When I sing Hatikva, this Druze leader says, I sing it with pride, and I identify with the challenges the Jewish people have gone through to return to their national home. My biggest concern is when I see naive Jews. There are Jews who are non-believers, who think they know better. I guess 2,000 years in exile still adversely affects their psyche. In recent days, we have witnessed the evil attempt of the leftist organizations and the New Israel Fund, which are trying to break apart the important alliance between the Druze citizens of Israel and our Jewish brethren. I'm going to stop here for a moment because I want to explain to you all that the New Israel Fund is a progressive leftist organization which tries to take away the identity of the Jewish people and the character of Israel, and they undermine the morality of the society here as well. This is my opinion. It's many people's opinion. Let's get back to the letter here. They forget we have a shared covenant that dates back to the days of Yitro or Jethro in the Bible, our Druze prophet, and Moses. Jethro advised Moses back then, and it was accepted by the Jewish nation. Today, we continue that covenant with pride. There are no Druze in the world who can claim a better and freer life than the Druze citizens of Israel. I'm going to stop here again because I want to say not only the Druze, but the Arabs in Israel have more freedoms than any other Arab in any other Arab country. In other Arab countries, if an Arab writes something negative about the government, he can disappear. He can be thrown into jail. How many bloggers have been thrown into jail? Even in Egypt, which is more Western-leaning today. Women do not have rights that they enjoy here in Israel, Arab women. Arabs enjoy more rights in Israel than they do in any other Arab country. And this Druze man here is saying the same thing. He continues and says, the New Israel Fund and other haters of Jewish tradition have found a fault line and are pushing to cause a rupture between our Druze brothers and Jews. Do not allow it to happen, he says. They strike when the Jewish nation thinks it's weak or, quote, enlightened, unquote. But the Jewish nation is not weak. It is strong. Your light is your Torah, your prophets, your heritage, and your people. I have told my Druze brothers not to fall into this foolish trap set by the left. My fellow Druze, we should use this law as an opportunity. We should encourage our children to learn more about Jews and their deep connection to Jerusalem, Hebron, and all the land of Israel, just as I believe that Jewish children should know more about who the Druze are. So many of our children are poorly educated on why our Jewish brothers have rebuilt this nation here. This has to change. You should know that the nation state law does not deprive us in the least. Most importantly, it enshrines in law the indisputable fact that Israel is the nation state of the Jewish people. It is in our clear interest to protect this important alliance, just as we and so many of our children continue to protect the state on the front lines of the Israel Defense Forces. Because the left is hungry for power, it is prepared even to destroy the unique status of the one and only Jewish state. Their goal is to suppress and even remove its Jewish character and turn it into just another state of all of its citizens. The left is not interested in the Druze. The only thing they are interested in is bringing down the government. And they don't care what they destroy to do this. They try to use us, and obviously will toss us away once they're done. And to end, he says here, stand up, Believe in yourselves, your heritage, and our God. Only a strong Jewish nation will preserve peace and tranquility in this land, and be that, quote, light unto all nations. Atta Farhat, head of the Druze Zionist Council, is an Israeli Druze and a supporter of the Jewish nation and the new nation state law. If anybody wants a copy of that, you can email it to me. Email me your request and I'll send it to you. If you have any comments, you agree, disagree, we want to hear from you. Leave them on our webpage where the show is podcasted. You've been listening to The Tamar Yonah Show, Tamar at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Howdy, this is Rita from League City, Texas, now living in Israel. And though my heart may have belonged to Texas, it now belongs to Israel and all the fantastic show hosts at Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Solomon from Kiryat Arba, Israel. And why do I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio? Because I love listening to the interesting interviews they do and their news reporting that most other media sources don't cover.
Hey, this is Nicole Eko from Malmo, Sweden. It gets pretty cold here in Sweden, so I love cuddling up with a warm cup of tea while I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Frank Karras from Tennessee. Me and my dog Buster really love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candle lighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.